Rat Pack, where you at?
It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Rack with the news. Thursday, August 17th, with all 32 team preview shows in the rearview mirror, it's time for the rubber to meet the road. On today's podcast, I'm going to break down how you dominate your draft. We're going to talk draft strategies, and then I'm going to take you through how I draft in my home leagues, in my industry leagues, just in general, how I draft, and it's not as hard as you think. But first, let me remind you, we have a contest going on over at FTN. If you review this podcast, you rate this podcast, and in your review, you leave your Twitter handle or Instagram if you're not on Twitter, but I prefer Twitter. It's easier for me. But either way, you are entered in to win a year of FTN Fantasy Plus. That is a full year, 365 days. You're going to get all the cheat sheets. I'm going to be up early on Saturday morning updating those bad boys. I have a draft on Saturday afternoon, so I'm getting ready, and I'll get you ready as well. Of course, we have the two draft guides, the game plan draft guide, the rookie fantasy scouting guide, award-winning rankings, projections, tools galore. There's so much at FTN, and that's just even during fantasy draft season. That's not even during the season itself. So much more during the season, the Discord community that people like, and it goes straight on through the offseason, NFL draft season, rookie draft season in Dynasty, 365 days. Rate, review, leave your Twitter handle or Instagram in your review, and you're entered in to win. I'll do another one on Monday. We did get enough reviews, but I need more, baby. I need more, so help me out. Of course, if you just want to purchase Fantasy Plus, you can do so over at ftnfantasy.com. Easy peasy, man. Use promo code RATPACK for 10% off. RATPACK, where you at? That'll hook it up for you. Also, quick shout out to our presenting sponsor, Circa. The Circa Millions contest is registering right now. You can sign up at Circa or one of the sister properties in Las Vegas. It's $1,000 to enter this contest. You can do 5 entries. The contest itself, it sounds simple. It's really difficult, but it's fun. Each week, you pick 5 games against the spread. If you are the winner, and it's any 5 games you choose, each week of the NFL season, if you are the winner, get $1 million. If you are top 100, you get a payout. If you're in the range, there's quarterly payouts as well, so you can get paid out then. You also, if you suck, could get paid out. If you're in last place, you get $100,000. If you're in second to last place, you get $50,000. So there's a lot of different ways to win. And I like this because it adds a different dynamic to what we ordinarily do as fantasy players. So it's something slightly different. And I can tell you, I'm going to be doing it. So you should too. All right, so let's talk some draft strategy. Plain and simple, what the heck do we do? And I'll tell you, this is something that has evolved over time for me. I, for a long time, you know, this is many moons ago when I started playing fantasy football, I sucked. Like, I sucked at drafting. Like, really bad. And there was one dude in my league who every year, every stinking year at the end of the draft, we'd look at his draft. We'd be like, how the hell did he do that? What is he doing? What is this magic? What is this mojo? And maybe 5 years in playing fantasy football, I like never got better over those first 5 years. But 5 or 6 years in, it dawned on me. I kind of looked around the draft at one point and noticed his team was looking good yet again. Then I looked at everybody else, and he's just like nonchalant, like kind of looking around the room. Everybody else is staring intently at their ranking sheets and all that. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. He's just taking advantage of us. His drafts are good because we all suck, right? And why did I suck? Well, I didn't know what I was doing. And why didn't I know what I was doing? Well, it was the early 2000s. There wasn't a lot out there. Like, there were sites. Like, talented Mr. Roto was around back then, but I didn't really do any of that stuff. I was just more there to hang out, be with my friends. And eventually, things started to change a little bit as analysis became more widespread and the platforms got bigger. Like, when Barry of talented Mr. Roto goes, Matthew Barry goes to ESPN, things started to change a little bit. I started to learn a thing or two, and I learned about this magical concept of value-based drafting, right? Draft the best values, essentially. Pretty straightforward stuff. And learned how to do a little bit of that. My drafts improved. Yet, I still found myself, you know, making the playoffs, having a decent team, maybe being one of the better teams in the regular season, and then fizzling out in the postseason, I'd finish. If I'd make it to the championship game, I wouldn't win. I'd finish third. I'd finish fourth. Heck, I'd lose in the first week of the playoffs. I'd be that team every year. And I always wondered, what the hell am I doing wrong? And after a lot of trial and error, I figured out what I was doing wrong. The number one thing I was doing wrong was prioritizing running backs early. And number two, as a sort of indirect, well, I guess it's directly related to it, I did not have enough firepower at wide receiver. So I wanted to take you through how I have adjusted my draft strategy. I also tended to draft, you know, early on I drafted quarterbacks way too early. Tight ends is whatever. We'll get into tight ends, but that was another problem of mine. Maybe that's yours. If you find yourself doing that as well, have a really good regular season, you just can't get over the hump in the playoffs, this is the podcast for you today. This is the episode for you, because we're going to talk about how to build a robust lineup that has the firepower at the end of the season to really take down some leagues. Now, running back and wide receiver, I kind of link these two together in terms of strategies, and there's three main strategies that you could deploy. You could go robust RB, you could go zero RB, or you could go punt RB2. Sometimes people call it anchor RB or hero RB. I say punt RB2, but it's the same thing. Those are linked to wide receiver, because what you do at running back is going to impact what you do at wide receiver. Quarterback and tight end are two slightly different things, and I'll get to those in a moment. Robust, that's the classic strategy right there. Running backs early and often. You probably come out of the first five rounds with at least three. Maybe I've seen people get four running backs. Now, there is a problem with this approach. You are investing your most valuable picks in an incredibly volatile asset. And I don't mean volatile in that running back scoring is hard to predict year over year. I wouldn't say that at all. It's the injury factor at running backs. That happens. Running back injuries derail seasons. So I am acknowledging that that is a part of the position. They touch the ball a lot. And therefore, I'm not going to typically invest heavily in the position. So that leads me to either zero RB, where you're not drafting no running backs. You're just not drafting running backs until you get to like round seven. Or punt RB2, where you anchor with one running back, and there are only seven of them right now who I am willing to anchor with this season. But you anchor with that one running back in the beginning of the draft, the first two rounds, and then you don't go back to the position until round seven. So they both have that in common, but they're not the same thing. And I would not call punt RB2 a variation of zero RB, because zero RB, you have to go zero RB, or it's not zero RB. Here are the seven: McCaffrey, Eckler, Bijan, Nick Chubb, Barkley, Henry, and Pollard. If I get one of those seven, I am anchoring with them, and I execute that strategy. If not, I could be zero RB. But I'll take you through that in a moment. Moving on to tight end. There are essentially three approaches at tight end as well. You could go robust. Some people call it great TE. You could go what I call tight end wheelhouse, or you could go late TD, late round TD. Robust this year is one of the essentially the big three. So you're talking Kelce in the first round, probably Mark Andrews in the third round, and Hockenson in the fourth round of one quarterback leagues. Wheelhouse is where I typically find the most value. A lot of times this is essentially around about round 5 to 7. You move it back around, essentially, if it's a super flex. Move it up around if it's a tight end premium. But 5 to 7, and I'm looking at the players ranked from 4 to 7 on my tight end list. So this year, that would be this grouping here. And the order can change based on your tiers. My tiers are at ftnfantasy.com, but it's Kyle Pitts, George Kittle, Dallas Goedert, Darren Waller. And any order there, I'm not going to argue with it. It's based on your preference. That's where I find the most value, because these late guys, it's really rare for them to make the jump to the elite territory. However, we see guys in the tight end wheelhouse every single year make the jump to elite territory. So that's why I'm more in on those guys than I am on the late guys. Late guys are interesting. However, you got to get the right one. And boy, there are so many. If I'm going to get a late guy, though, it's going to be a guy with a high ceiling. Dalton Kincaid, Cole Kmet, Sam Laporta, Chig Okonkwo. Guys like that who I'd be looking at. So there you go on the tight ends. Moving over to quarterback, you can go robust quarterback, and there are a lot of people who are doing that this year, where they're taking Mahomes, Allen, Hurts early, possibly even Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, those types early, and early as the first five rounds. I do not like that. My builds never turn out with enough firepower at wide receiver. You can go middle round value. Now, that's not a common strategy, but you're looking, you know, in those middle rounds, maybe it's somebody like Deshaun Watson. Maybe it is somebody like Trevor Lawrence, that type of player. Justin Fields, perhaps, unless he goes in the early rounds. Then there's late round. Now, I go safe and upside in the late round, and this is what I do in most one quarterback leagues. I will draft one safe option and one upside option. If I could have my choice of any upside option, it would be Anthony Richardson, but I'm acknowledging he may not be there. So Daniel Jones, Tua Tagovailoa, Russell Wilson, those guys are upside options. Maybe in a slightly deeper league, Jordan Love or Bryce Young, but usually it's those four, Richardson, Jones, Tua Tagovailoa, and Russell. Then I want to pair them with the safe options, Geno Smith, Aaron Rodgers, Jared Cook, Derek Carr, the ones who make the list for me. I guess Kirk Cousins is a slightly he's a top shelf safe guy. But anyway, those guys, the reason why I want to do this, I'm not drafting a backup quarterback. I'm drafting two quarterbacks. I'm drafting one quarterback to potentially hit a home run with. Anthony Richardson could be a massive home run. But guess what? Like Daniel Jones showed us in 2020, I could swing and miss. If I do, at least I have Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers or whoever to tide me over while I work the waiver wire and try to find the next Jalen Hurts in his rookie season or Justin Herbert in his rookie season. Who's that guy? It always happens. So you need to know these strategies. You need to know that you have them, you know, have them in your pocket, and that's important. Now, quarterback-wise for Superflex, some people will go very robust early. I tend to go value at Superflex, which means I wait in a 12-team league until at least 10 quarterbacks are drafted. Could be 12, 13, 14, but I am not going to take one until at least those 10. At least 10 are drafted. In a 10-team league, it's likely more like at least 12 are drafted because there's going to be more value on waivers. I'll take them in back-to-back rounds, and they're usually very high-floor guys but not commonly high-ceiling guys like the Anthony Richardsons of the world unless I'm in an industry league. Otherwise, home leagues, high-floor basic bros. When 24 are off the board, I will take my third quarterback. That's my approach in Superflex. So here's the number one thing I will tell you. Draft a roster, not starters and a bench. If you're drafting bench players, you are going to draft players who belong on a bench. Think about it as a complete roster. Make sure you're paying attention to what your opponents are doing throughout the draft. You are playing against them, not against yourself. You're not just building your team, you're playing against your opponents. Don't ever reach. Reach is overpaying, and you would never do this anywhere else, so why would you do it in a fantasy draft? I draft for ceiling. I don't draft necessarily for floor. I like a high floor, but I love a high ceiling. Keeping it simple on draft day is important. I bring one sheet of paper with me, my draft board, which you can get at ftnfantasy.com. Bye weeks don't matter with one exception. In Superflex, your two starters. You don't want them both to have your two starting quarterbacks to have the same bye week. Otherwise, I don't care about bye weeks at all. So in round one, what do we do? You're up on the clock. I don't care where you're picking. You're picking at 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 6, I don't care. What I do is plain and simple. On my draft board, I have a top 24 list. When I am up, I am taking the top guy on that list. And I can guarantee you that top guy is likely going to be a wide receiver or a running back. So say I'm up at 7, the top 6 have gone. That would be right now, as I'm recording this, Jefferson, Chase, McCaffrey, Kupp, Eckler, and Tyreek Hill. I pick Bijan at 7. But let's say Bijan went before this and for some reason Cooper Kupp fell. Okay, I take Cooper Kupp. I'm taking the highest guy on my board. Now, if I took Cooper Kupp, advance to round 2 and take it from there. If I took Bijan, I've now anchored. And I will not go back to running back until round 7. And that means no matter what, I will not pay attention to running back whatsoever any longer. I will consider every single running back on my board a round 7 value. None of them are slipping because I'm not addressing the position. I'm mainly going to attack wide receiver. Now, if I took a wideout, say I took Cooper Kupp in round 1. In round 2, same process. Who's the highest guy on my board? If that highest guy is an anchor, like Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry, I take them. If they're all gone and the highest running back is Jonathan Taylor, he's not an anchor. So I'm not taking him. I'm going to take the next highest wideout on the board, and now I have gone 0 RB. The most important thing with 0 RB is once you begin 0 RB, you have to see it through. If you waiver and you pull the ripcord and you draft a running back in round four, you have now ruined your build. It will not be a zero RB build, and therefore you're going to limit the potential of this roster. Once you make that decision, go storming through the door, and that means we're not looking at running back again until round seven. Trust me, you can do this. And when you see your wideouts at the end of the draft, you are going to love that you did this. Now, rounds three through six, I'm mainly attacking wide receivers, but I just mentioned the tight end wheelhouse. That is rounds five, six, and seven. I'm going to look, starting in round five, if there's a lot of depth there, I might wait until round six. Usually it's five or six for me. I will be honest there. If I get to seven and I haven't drafted a tight end, I want to address it then, or I may wait till late round, because seven, eight, nine, 10, if I'm going punt RB2, I'm drafting three running backs in that range. If I went zero RB, I am drafting four. You have noticed I have yet to draft a quarterback, and that is by design. If there's any top-end quarterbacks like Josh Allen or somebody like that, I need three rounds of value from my draft grade on them to draft them. Josh Allen is a round three grade. That means he'd need to be there in the sixth. He will not be there in the sixth in our home leagues, and that's okay because we can go safe and upside in the late rounds. Otherwise, in the late rounds, I will prioritize high-ceiling wide receivers. I'm going to typically end up in a 16-round draft with like seven wideouts and four running backs. And why? Because guess what? I'm going to work waivers all season long at running back, and there are going to be options available. So that's what I do. Final two picks, defense, kicker. I just put a free defense article up at ftnfantasy.com to tell you the defenses who I am targeting, because some of the good ones have bad matchups in week one. That's it. Did you get all that? That's the draft strategy right there. If you didn't get it all, well, hey. With an FTN Fantasy Plus subscription, I wrote it all down for you in the roadmap, winning fantasy football draft strategy right there. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Enter the contest, review the show on Apple Podcasts, rate it, leave your Twitter handle in the review, and you are entered in to win. We'll talk some more, maybe even those defenses on the podcast tomorrow. Until then, catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.